minutes. I want to start out by just defining for our church what missions work is. Missions work, and this is kind of located on the back of your bulletin of sort of our statement that we follow, that missions work for us as a church is defined as ways we as a church support and carry out the Great Commission, Matthew 28, that we just read, on a local, regional, national, and international scale. That's the pattern in Acts 1:8. Through the support of both individuals and organizations. So this is the thing we come back to when we're deciding and making sure, are we doing a good job in our missions work? Is it diversified? Does it have individuals, organizations? Is it local, regional, international, all that sort of stuff? And does it follow these scriptures? So the goal kind of for this morning is to do a couple things. Number one, to help you have a good grasp on who and what we are supporting as a church and why, so that when we say the missions work of Oceanside, you understand what we're talking about. We want you to have a good grasp of that, and we're trying to make that as clear as possible so you feel good about it and you feel empowered and you feel knowledgeable about what we're doing. So we've now added the list of the people we support to our website. You'll see that there's a missions board under construction out there where we're going to just neatly outline kind of the people we're supporting so you can easily see that. We want it to be clear. So that's kind of the first goal. The second goal is then to hopefully get you excited about the work that we're supporting as a church and wise, for you to really take ownership of it as a congregation. I want you to feel the weight of responsibility because it's all of us. There are missionaries, right, that we support. They're not more one person's than another's. And then lastly, to encourage you as a part of that to be invested and engaged in the missions work we're doing through your prayers and your finances. So I want you to really, you know, that's kind of the last step of faith, right, is to say, well, I'm going to be involved in this way. So I'm not really preaching this morning as much as informing, because I think it's important, and we're going to pray for each missionary, because I think it's important to do that so we're on the same page. But I believe this is just so important. It's something that we all have to be together on as a church, and we're trying to do better at really highlighting so it's clear to you what we're doing and make sure you know where we're going when it comes to missions. So, and you have your quarterly report in your bulletin, so I'm not going to say a lot about each missionary because that gives you a little bit of information there, but mostly just to highlight who they are and to take a moment to pray for them. So that's our missions policy or missions work statement there. So our goal as a church is to have a sort of a balanced and diversified approach to the work of missions following this pattern of Acts 8, that we should have witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth, that we need witnesses everywhere, the local, regional, national, international witness to the gospel. And I might have said this briefly before, but kind of compare it to, you know, financial investment, if that's sort of an interest, where, you know, your brokers would tell you you want a diversified portfolio, right? That you want a mix of stocks and bonds and mutual funds, and you want to make sure you're invested in national and international stocks so that it's not all in one place, so that it's kind of diverse. That's a safe way to invest. Well, I kind of think of missions like that, that we want to be invested in lots of different places. We want to be invested locally. We want to be invested in our province, in our nation, but then we want to be invested around the world. So kind of the beauty of being a part of an organization is that when you give into just the general missions fund, your money gets spread out, and it's diversified into all these works of missions, and it's able to follow the pattern of Acts 1:8, because it's hard to do that on your own. But we can do that together by all giving into the general missions fund, which is what we encourage you to do by just kind of marking missions in general on that line when you put in the giving box, or there's a drop-down menu on the online giving that says missions. So that's you know, sort of an analogy to help you think about that we want to be diversified in our approach in the kingdom of God and what we're supporting. So I encourage you to take that approach there. So let's kind of give you a feel for what we're doing as a church. kind of go through this in a geographical outline, and I'll sort of go in reverse order from international kind of down to local. And of course, there's great overlap between some of these individuals and organizations are both local, regional, international, and all that kind of stuff. But sort of highlight the eight missions endeavors that we do as a church, and refer you, these are listed on your bulletin, as well as that missions report that you have. And I'm just going to briefly mention each one, and we're going to take, briefly, I'm just going to ask for a volunteer. So if you know one of these people, just to pray for each one, a short prayer. If we prayed 2 or 3 minutes for each one, that would be 20 minutes and more than half the sermon. So, you know, just a brief prayer, but just bringing them before the Lord in a short prayer there. So, and then I really want to highlight kind of our two newest endeavors the most. So let's start with some of our international missionaries. And we'll start with Serena Oak, who's in Togo there. And the fun with Serena, she's one of our very own. Came up through this congregation, and when she's here, attends this congregation. And so we've been supporting her, and she's with Youth with a Mission, and she's teaching the Word of God, and she's raising up leaders in Togo in the church. And she's had some health issues in adjusting. She's contracted malaria a couple times since she's been there. So we need to pray for her, and we want to lift her up. So can I get someone just to pray for Serena there? And I'm even willing to bring the mic to you if you want. Thanks, Mike. Awesome. So let's pray for Serena together.
Lord, just as we remember Serena this morning, we just ask that you would protect her. Health-wise, Lord, that you'd just put a hedge of protection around her. Lord, as she's ministering and expanding your kingdom by training people to go into other parts of the country, Lord, we just ask that you'll just enhance her French linguistics, Lord, that you'll just be able to teach individuals that'll make a huge difference in that country. Lord, we just ask that you'll just put a hedge of protection around her and bless her ministry. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. So we have Serena, so keep her on your heart. Second is Matt and Catherine, and similar with saying Kevin and Julia. We don't use their last names. It's not that big of a deal, but they're in the Middle East. We can say that. But because they're in a restricted access nation, RAN, we try to be careful about, you know, what we, not giving away too much information, because they're in a country that officially missionaries aren't really allowed to be in. So they're doing the hard work of the gospel in a country and in a primarily Muslim country. So they were just here in August and got to share with us. Many of you are here, and we look forward to having them back again. And we've been supporting them for quite a long time. So someone want to pray for Matt and Catherine, our missionaries there. Dixie, thank you.
Lord, we just thank you for this faithful family. Lord, we just pray that you would just bless the work of their hands, Lord, and bless the message that is being given out. Lord, that your radiance will be seen through them as they serve you, Lord, and minister to so many. Father, I pray for their children, that you would just protect them and equip the family, Lord, in a mighty way. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.
So we have Matt and Catherine. We have Nelson and Lisa Montero, and they're in Brazil. Now, you might say, well, isn't Brazil mostly a Christian country? And it is now because of all the great missions work that has been done there. And what Nelson and Lisa are doing actually is mainly training and raising up missionaries to actually send out from Brazil. So they're kind of missionaries to missionaries in a way, because Brazil is actually becoming one of the main sending centers in the world of Christian missionaries. So we're not really any longer sending missionaries to Brazil necessarily. It's more like Brazil sending missionaries to us in Canada and other nations, honestly. But they're becoming a huge sending center for missionaries. So the Monteros are involved in helping now equip this new wave of missionaries that are being raised up and sent out through their training center. So somebody want to pray for Nelson and Lisa Montero there. In 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Thanks, Sheila.
Lord God, we just think of the Monteros in Brazil. We thank you that your word is being broadcast far and wide in that country, and that they are now training people to send out to the rest of the world. Be with them, Lord. Give them wisdom. Give them courage. Help them to be successful as they train people to send out to others. Be with their children wherever they are. I think some of them were going to be at university here. Just guard them and protect them and keep them close to you. And we just thank you for this couple, Lord, and ask that you stay very close to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Next, we have Graham and as well as Shirley Powell. And Graham also is one of our very own here. In fact, he's sitting right there. And so Graham's a traveling evangelist and speaker. And in fact, you'll get to hear from him in just 2 weeks to kind of hear a little bit of his heart. But so in this case, we have the great opportunity to pray for Graham in person and lay hands on him. And if you're on the prayer update. You know that Graham has some just physical issues that have caused him to have to cancel his next trip that he had already had planned, where he was going to take his ministry into some other countries. So this morning we're going to pray for physical healing upon him. We'll anoint him with oil, as well as just pray for this season that's coming up for him and the work that God has called him to do. So let's get a couple people to gather around him here. And do I have someone that can pray for Graham as well? Somebody to pray? Hannah will pray. Thanks. And Graham, I'm going to anoint you with oil, a sign of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life as well as his healing power in your life.
Lord, we pray for Graham and Shirley and their family, and we thank you for them, and we thank you for their ministry. And Lord, we pray first for healing for Graham, that you would take care of his heart and anything else that's wrong. Lord, that you would be the creator and recreate, give him the power to do what you have called him to do. And Lord, give him wisdom and the family wisdom in this season to see with your eyes where you're guiding them. Perhaps your work for them might be different than the past. Help them to look beyond their past and to be able to see the creative ways that you have to use them in the future. Lord, we just ask that they would continue to evangelize the people that are around them, and they would be able to continue to travel and evangelize there. Pray for their family and their kids, especially for Kyle, whom we love. Lord, be with him, bless him, and draw him close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So keep Graham in your prayers, and as long as he's feeling up to it, no pressure, you'll hear from him in a few weeks as well. So that's sort of international. Now, of course, some of those people do work on the regional, local level as well. Under kind of more national, maybe kind of more North American, we have Joni and Elgin, and they are also one of us. What a great congregation that we have our own missionaries that we're raising up and sending out and supporting as a part of. It's pretty exciting. You don't always get that. And they do lots of work in BC, but also around North America. And the reason I like supporting Joni and Elgin is I really believe in the arts and music as a way to communicate God's heart and to bless people, that it's not just about, you know, preaching the word or doing these sorts of things or crusades and all, but we need to use the arts to communicate the Lord's heart and to bless people. And some people, they're more likely to respond to music and to the arts, to the gospel, than the just straight preaching of the word, although they do that as well when they go into prisons and do all kinds of different things. So again, Joni has not been feeling well, so we want to pray for her, and we'll lay hands on Elgin as we pray for him. He's sort of the brains behind the operation, right? And Joni does a lot of the ministering up front. But let's pray for him as well as him on behalf of Joni, and we'll anoint you with oil as well. Yeah. Yes, we can. Yeah. Yeah, who has cancer, so yeah. So let's pray for Joni and Elgin as well as Pat, Joni's sister. So somebody to pray for Elgin here. Julia, thank you so much. Elgin, I'll anoint you with oil.
Thank you, God, for your blessings, Lord, for the abilities you give each of us, Lord. And we thank you for Joni and Elgin, Father God, and for the talents you've given them, Lord. And we pray that you'll continue to use them, Elgin, as he organizes and plans all the travel, and Joni as she sings and delivers the word, Lord. Bless them, Lord, as they go. Anoint their ministry, Lord, the words that you give them, and the hearts and the minds that hear the message, Lord. I pray, Father God, that there will be many souls saved because of their work, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you will touch Joni with health and strength, that you'll heal her body, Lord, that she'll be able to have the energy to keep doing this ministry or whatever other ministry you want her to do, Lord. And we pray for Pat, Father God, that you'll touch and heal her and take every sign of cancer from her body and give her a new strength and new health, Lord. And we thank you for your blessing and your promises, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
It only gets more exciting here on a regional and local level. We are so excited for our newest missionaries on our roster. And it's a bit of a step of faith, but we felt like we wanted to take on something new as well and something that's needed. So our newest missionaries are the campus missionaries at Vancouver Island University. And the cool thing about what they do is this is local. This is regional, this is national, and this is international because they meet students from all over the world, all over the province, all over the country, and then they raise them up and they send them back out to fulfill the calling of God upon their lives, and they introduce new people to Jesus who might never have heard of Jesus. So this is such an important work for us to be a part of. I'm really excited that we're on board. I was at VIU on Thursday night speaking at their campus ministry there. And let me tell you, Samuel and Christina, who I'm about to introduce, are just doing an amazing job. They had a room packed full of students at VIU who were worshiping God, praising God, singing songs, hearing from his word, fellowshipping with each other. And they've just created such a wonderful environment already. They've only been there, what, 6 weeks? Not even? Yeah, they've already created such a wonderful environment there for students to come and to meet other people, to be encouraged. So I was so impressed with their work. It takes really special people to do campus ministry. It's very difficult work. It's not easy stuff to kind of gather together students. And so they have what it takes. I've seen it in them. And they have the right balance. And they even live close to campus. They walk over to campus. So they're really living like missionaries. They're right there on campus. It's awesome. So they're going to get to share with us for a few minutes this morning and introduce themselves as our newest missionary. So why don't you welcome Samuel and Christina Druin as they share with us.
Thank you so much. So it's great to hear about all these people and the missionary work that's happening. And one of the most influential books that I read in my life is Just As I Am by Billy Graham. I actually read it in French because I grew up in Quebec. But he would share how every time he would go on a crusade, he would get so sick so often. He would be in his hotel room, literally throwing up his guts, and then he would have to go and preach to 50,000 people, and God would just move. And I think there is something about ministry when God is really working against our workers and putting, you know, holds up and walls, building walls, that he knows what's happening. And I think God is really working something on the island right now, and God is about to move on the island, and it's exciting to see workers getting up, and some of them being stuck here to really be in the harvest of what God is planning on the island, in Nanaimo, in Parksville, in greater areas. So we're just blessed to see that, to hear about the stories. Like Joseph said, my name is Christina. Samuel, this is my wife, Christina. I wish my name was Christina. She's beautiful, but it's not. I grew up in Quebec. Maybe you hear it in my little accent. And in a small town called Shawinigan, if you've heard about Jean Chrétien, we are from the same town. So if you didn't like him, I'm sorry. If you liked him, I met him a couple times. It was great. He was quite a nice fella. And I remember I was in grade 10. We had to do a two-minute oral presentation in English. And my hometown is not English at all. I didn't speak any English. I stumbled through it, finished my 2 minutes. And I was like, I do not want to hear anything about this anymore. I don't want to think about English. I don't want to do anything about English. My classmate did not forget about it. Some of my friends came after that, and they were joking to me, Samuel, what did you talk about? Because we have no idea. We couldn't hear what you were saying. It didn't make any sense. I was so embarrassed, so humiliated. I promised myself I would never speak English again in my life. So the fact that I'm speaking here this morning is a miracle from God. But it's not the miracle we want to share about. We want to really talk about the miracle God is doing at VIU. Now, we are so blessed to have the opportunity to work with young adults, with university students, developing them to be key Christian leaders in their home, in their churches, in their businesses, in their communities, now and in the future. That, you know, I've been in the university setting now for the better part of 8 years, turning on 9 years, a lot of those going to school and now working on campus. And my heart is just saddened to see young Christians leave to go to university and walk away from God. A time where it should be about building the foundation on which you will rest the rest of your life on. A time that should be about building up our young leaders becomes a moment of destruction for their faith, and they walk away from God. And my heart is just broken for that. VIU every year has 16,000 students. It's not a small university. There's a third of the students on campus that live in the residence are international students. We literally have the world coming to us in Nanaimo, in Parksville. And my question is, what do we do with this, right? Is how about we imagine a world, how about we imagine a university that rather than having students coming and having their faith shattered, we build them up as Christian leaders so that when they grow and they are sent back to their country, sent back to their city, sent back to their community, sent back to their churches, they are leaders for Christ. Imagine your son, your granddaughter, your nephew, your niece going to university and being raised as a key Christian leader for your church. That gets me excited. I say, imagine with me a Parksville with more Christian doctors taking care of our elders. Imagine with me a Parksville with more Christian teachers educating our youth in the schools. Imagine with me more Christian lawyers defending the weak. Imagine with me more Christian businessmen building up our city. Imagine with me a Parksville with more Christian artists transforming our culture for Christ. Imagine with me a world, a university who equips young men to go and transform the world for Christ. And this is already happening at VIU. This is already exciting. Meet Tanner, the next slide. Typical young adults started going to university in 2012 at VIU. Never really walked with God and was really poor, so poor that he was actually sleeping on his brother's living room floor while he was going to school. And one day he got invited by one of our UCM, a UCMer, let's call him like this, to come at one of our Thursday night gatherings. So anyhow, he didn't really have any friends, didn't really know what was happening. Just a little nugget here. We have 6 weeks. The first 6 weeks that your children, your grandchildren, or your children, your friends' children go to university, those first 6 weeks, the first month, will determine what they will do and what group they will attach themselves to for the rest of their duration at the university. So we want to be there. And luckily, we had someone that was with Tanner in one of his class that invited him to come to UCM. He came to UCM, and he thought, what is this weird bunch of people singing songs in the classrooms? In the classroom. Let me tell you, he got over it quite quickly. And he met Jesus that night, gave his heart to Jesus. And God just started moving in his heart. And the next year, he was on the leadership team at UCM. This year is his third year of college. He's taking a semester off, and he went as a missionary for a three-month mission trip in Thailand. This is what's happening right now. This semester, we already had two young girls say, we want to give my heart to Jesus at VIU at UCM on a Thursday night gathering. God is moving on campus, and it's exciting to be part of what he's doing here. There are people like Tanners walking on campus right now, wondering what they're supposed to do with the rest of their life. What foundation are they going to build that they will lay the rest of their life, that they will raise their family, that they will build their businesses, that they will serve their communities? What are the values that they're going to have? They're walking on campus with this brokenness inside, wondering how they're going to fill this void. And we want to come, Christina and I, and tell them that void that you have inside is for Jesus. There is nothing that can fill this but the love of Jesus. This brokenness that you have, this rejection that you've suffered in your life, these young people are broken, and they're handed on a silver platter of freedom to be and to do whatever they want. That even if you, now it amazes me that even your physical body is not a limitation anymore. Maybe you're a girl, you can be a boy. Maybe you're a boy, you can be a girl. Nothing can hold you back. You can be whatever you want. We want to come and say, you know what? God created you just like you are. And he loves you just like you are. And he wants to raise you just like you are. And so every week we have young students, between 35 to 50 students that come, and we meet. And our goal is to reach more of those young students and come and raise them as Christian leaders. We'll be in the lobby at the end. We'd love to meet you face-to-face, share a thought with you, pray together. So please come see us, and we'll be blessed to hear your story.
Let's gather around them, maybe a couple people. And is there anybody that just really feels like they want to really pray for? Samuel and Christina, while they're here. Anybody like to do that? Graham, thanks. Awesome. If a few of you want to come gather around them, you can.
Thank you. What an exciting ministry. What a crucial ministry. Such an important ministry. Father, we thank you for Samuel and Christina, for this door of opportunity that you have opened to them. And we just pray that they will be aware of your strategies to reach the students. We pray that your love will fill them and flow through them. We pray day after day, week after week, divine appointments for them. Maybe in some of the most unexpected places and times, a connecting with a student or students. Oh Lord, we just commit them to you. We uplift them to you. And we pray that you will abundantly use them in this place. Thank you, Father. Thank you for their willingness to serve you. And we pray that they will prosper in every way, that they will not lack because they are serving you, but they will prosper in every way. But most of all, Lord, with your anointing upon their lives, your abundance pouring through them, touching the lives of others. So we just lift them to you. We thank you for this joining we have with them as a church. And Lord, we will follow with interest and excitement that which you are doing in the days ahead. Thank you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand for being here. I hope you'll spend some time with them after the service. As he said, they'll be right out there. And I'm so excited about this new partnership, and I hope you are too. And so these are the kinds of things we want to be a part of and that we're going to be. Our last thing is, and this is our other newest missions endeavor, and this is more of, like I said, individuals and organizations, is supporting the local camp, the Neuse Bay Pentecostal Camp. And you might say, well, why are we getting involved with the camp on a regular basis? And this is such an important part of the spiritual vitality of Vancouver Island, this place, because people and children and families and churches come from all over the island. They encounter God, and then they take that back to their churches, and it multiplies what God is doing across the island. And the camps also, you know, I think it's important. Well, A, we're part owners of the camp as being a church on the island, so we want to be a part of it. And so we have a responsibility to it. But also, you know, they kind of went through some harder times, and now they're sort of moving in a new direction. And it reminds me a little bit even of our own church, that we're starting to see some good signs of life, and they're moving in new directions. And so we want to be a part of it, and they want to be a part of what we're doing. I've met with the president there. We've had good conversation with what they're doing. And so it's an exciting time to be on board with what the camp's doing and be a part of the overall spiritual vitality of Vancouver Island and the churches on Vancouver Island. So that's why we're supporting them there. And I want to share an exciting piece of news with you, is hopefully this will encourage your faith. They had an anonymous donation recently that paid off over $500,000 of their mortgage, the camp did. So this has put them, yeah. So this has put them in a tremendous position. They were really in a struggling position, and that was really hurting them. And now, just to have that freedom to begin to now, you know, worry about some other things and move on to some other things. So the best days are ahead for the camp. And so now we're on board with them, and we're saying, hey, we support what you're doing, and we believe in what you're doing. And not only will we benefit, but the camp will benefit from that relationship there. And you don't want to ever interpret other experiences and throw them back onto yourself. That's not really sympathetic listening. But we could pray for the same thing to happen here. That would be great. Anonymous donation to pay off our mortgage. Why not? If it can happen at the camp, I mean, the money's out there. The Lord has the money, right? And we're just waiting for, you know, the Lord to lay it on somebody's heart. And that would free us up to do a bunch of things too. So, you know, doesn't hurt to pray. Might as well. For that. So that's our other thing. So let me just pray for the camp real quickly, because I'll start to move us toward a close. But Lord, we thank you for our new partnership with them. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, that what happens there would be a center, Lord, for a spiritual awakening across the island. Lord, that people would come to this camp to encounter the risen Christ, Lord, and that they would take that enthusiasm back to their churches, Lord, that it would revitalize churches and people and pastors and leaders and seniors and youth and families and children, Lord. And we pray you'd give their leaders wisdom as well as our own people that are involved there. In Jesus' name, amen. So lastly, and I'll make this quick, I'll skip a lot more that I was going to say, but I want to focus on our last missions endeavor, which is an official thing that we support necessarily financial, but of course that is you. That probably our most important missions endeavor is you, is the local mission that you're all involved in. The reason we do these interviews every couple months is it's our way of communicating and saying that the work you're doing is valuable, that it is, that you are missionaries. We featured global missionaries this morning, but you are local missionaries for the kingdom of God. And what Sue said was just so right on, right? That what she's doing locally is what God has called her to do. God hasn't called her to go somewhere else. He's called her into this community and to be involved in that community of people. And that's the case for most of us, that God's probably not going to call us elsewhere, but he's actually calling us to do the work here that he's calling us to do. And so we want to equip and empower each other to do that work. And we have to be doing that work. And in fact, our own growth and vitality as a church is so tied up in how we do this. Because we can't just have an attractional model of church, meaning we just kind of sit around and we wait and we hope people come. That's not the way churches grow. And in fact, you know, you usually go like, you know, one for every 30 people that just kind of check out your church. But if you have a relationship with someone and you invite them and they come and they have a relationship with you, the percentages are so much higher that that person stays, connects, and becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ, because there's already a relationship involved with what's going on. So we need to start to pray that God would use us as local missionaries in this community. And Hannah and I are trying to lead the way and exemplify, but we all need to do this. When we had our open house last Sunday, Valentine's Day party, there were about 30 people that came in and out of that open house. 14 of those people were non-church people, were unbelievers. And so what we're saying is we all need to do that. We need to have an intermixing. The cool thing was that we had church people talking to non-church people. We haven't even had a couple people, Len and Evelyn, recognize one of our neighbors that had come because they had been at their house to give them a quote on a remodel or something. You know, and you just never know what all those things are going to lead to. And that's what needs to happen. But you know what? We had to literally, and actually Hannah, give her the credit, Hannah literally went out and knocked on doors in our neighborhood and said, we want to invite you over to our house. You know, so it was kind of officially a church thing, and that's what it started out as. But then as we got thinking, let's go out, and let's invite some people, and let's bring some people in, and some people from Hannah's baby groups that she goes to, and different things, and they came. But we all need to be doing that, because those are the things, and we're working on some of those people. A few of them have been to the church, actually. They've come here and there, and we're still working on our relationships with them. But it's not all on us, of course. It's all of us together doing these sorts of things and seeing ourselves as missionaries in what we do. Because these are exciting times for our church. Even without doing a lot of that, I sense that our core and that our strength is really growing as a church. Three things tell me this. Just want to highlight this because I probably won't before the AGM at all, because I haven't really built it into this schedule. But just so you know, it's important to highlight three things that tell me that we're growing in strength and in that core group of people, and now it's kind of time to kind of go out into the highways and byways, so to speak. Number one, in 2015, so now that the year's ended, our attendance was up 10% in 2015 over 2014. So that's a good sign. Not only that, it's our first increase in attendance in 3 years. We had three straight years of declining attendance. So now we've reversed the trend, which is important and key. So we're kind of going this way, now we've stopped that, and now we're going this way. Not only that, it's the biggest increase percentage-wise in attendance since 2006 in this church. So you can't really feel that because we're so small that an increase of 10% is like, it's not a lot of people. But it tells me that we're moving in the right direction, that we've reversed that trend, and now we're going here. Not only that, second thing that tells me we're growing in strength in core is that in January, so just to compare, in January of this year compared to last year, we were up 20%. And I was kind of surprised. Usually January is a really low month. And besides that first Sunday in January after New Year's, there was a lot of strength and enthusiasm and things going on in January. And then when compared to numbers, we realized, wow, we were up 20% from last year. So we're already on a good trajectory this year as well. In addition to that, our giving was up 7% in 2015 over 2014. So again, that's another good sign that there seems to be some core and some growth and some things happening, because that's up as well. Our care fund giving, which I think is important because that's how we bless others in our community and around the community, our care fund giving was up 155% in 2015 over 2014, and that enabled us to reach more people and to bless more people. That's awesome, 155%. Not only that, our January care fund giving, what we've used to call benevolence, right? This our January care fund giving, just this last month, was more than all of 2014 combined and more than half of 2015's care fund giving, which was up 155% from 2014. So that tells me that something's happening, that something's working, that God is doing some great things in our church. So there's exciting and good days ahead of us, and God is doing awesome things. But we're not just going to kind of stop and celebrate those things. These are small steps. They're small signs of life, I realize. But they are signs of life. And so we want to continue to move in that direction. And the key to it is you, our missionaries, our local missionaries into the community. So let's keep doing this. Let's keep gathering together. Let's keep building strength. And let's go out into our communities, into our workplaces, into our schools. Let's bring our families. Let's bring our cousins and our siblings and our grandkids and our kids. And let's begin to do something. And let's begin to see God continue to work in our community. So I'm excited about the road ahead. So how I want to close is I want to pray for you, our missionaries, to go out. We've prayed for the other missionaries, and now we're going to pray for these missionaries. So why don't you stand with me here, and we'll just kind of do a quick close here. I know it's a little bit later, but I hope that it's worth your time to hear about these missions endeavors, and I hope it encourages you to give to them. Look, there's nothing in it for us as a church for you to give to missions. That money just goes right back into missions. So there's no motivation for us except that we believe in what we're doing, and we want you to be a part of it. And we as a church want to be doing this. As it'd be easier not to, but we're saying, well, we're not going to take the easy road. We're going to take the hard road. We want to be a part of what God's doing on a local, regional, national, international level. So if you want, if you know somebody around you, lay a hand on them just as a way of praying for them as God's missionary, if there's someone nearby. But I'll extend my hands out to you. And Lord, I thank you for this group of missionaries. Lord, I thank you for each of their individual callings. Lord, some are called to be great mothers and fathers, and some are called to be great community activists. Lord, some are called, Lord, into the evangelism of the places they go every single day. Some are called, Lord, to make this community more beautiful, to add justice and mercy and love everywhere they go. Lord, each person has individual callings on their life. And Lord, I pray that Acts 1:8 over them, Lord, that they, Lord, would be empowered to be your witnesses now as they go to throughout the community, through Parksville, Qualicum Beach, Coombs, Arrington, Nanoose Bay, Lord, all over the Vancouver Island in BC. Lord, that they would be your witnesses for you. Lord, that this would be a receiving and sending center of missionaries across these areas, this town, and all over the world, Lord. We thank you for the great work that's been highlighted this morning. We celebrate it, Lord, but we also look forward to more of what you're going to do and what you can do. Lord, we love you. I pray you'd be with each person as they carry out the work of the Lord that they are called to this week. In Jesus' name, amen.